Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Today's show is brought to you by Birdland Sports. I want you to go check out birdlandstore.com if you haven't already, because it's my site. Birdland Sports is my company. It's the company behind Section 336 and other podcasts. And now, you know, we've had the little shop over on section336.com for a long time. We have turned it into birdlandstore.com. And every week I'm adding 3 to 5 new shirts. I've got a bunch of stuff up there. If there's something fun going on in Birdland, we got a shirt for it up there. If there's a shirt you don't see there, if you have an idea for a shirt, hit me up. You can do one little chat with us on birdlandstore.com. Hit me up on Twitter, whatever. Let me know. The shirts are for fans, by fans, like everything else we do at 336. So head on over there. Right now, the popular shirts are the Birds Are Coming shirt with the Oriole bird dressed up as Omar from The Wire. We've got the nickname series with Hillbilly Hayes and Rough Rider Odor and Mateo the Flash and King Mountcastle all up there. We've got a Gunnar Henderson shirt. Gunnar Henderson just made it up today as I'm recording this. We got that shirt up there ready to go. Check out birdlandstore.com and use the code 336TALK. That's number 3, number 6, and then TALK, T-A-L-K, and you will get a 25% discount. You're not going to get that anywhere else. Any other ads for Birdland Store is not going to give you 25% because it's my store. I can do what I want. So check it out there. There's also plenty of Section 336 merch as well up there. Hit it up. Help me out. Thanks.
Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up?
Come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, next generation of Baltimore sports talk. I am your endearingly stunning host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover slash t-shirt vendor, Josh Soroka.
You know, this is a big episode for us. It's the first episode before the football season starts. Last episode before the Ravens play, big episode to talk Orioles. You sure you want you and us to do the podcast and we not just bring in like our kids to come do it? Let Silas and Owen run it or something. I mean, it's big games that we got to get. Why would we not just put random guys from Norfolk in here?
Yeah, well, you know, when you're in a big spot, you're right. You get a lot of eyeballs on you, a lot of listeners. This key show. Yeah, I'm all right. Hasn't stayed up for a game all year, but yeah, I'll be okay with it.
I mean, it's a statement time. We got to make a statement now that, hey, we're in this. We're ready for the postseason.
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at, it was funny. I was just checking right before the show, fan graphs, playoff odds, kind of before today and after today.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You accumulate, you know, it's 162 games is so many games, right? Like, it's a ton of games. Right. But then, so it's almost like one game really can't matter. Like, in 162, one game can't make that big of a difference because it's 162.
What if you cram 2 games into one day?
Even though
twice as important.
But still, that's two of 162.
What if you put it in September against a team that you're two games behind?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't get any bigger than today. You got the series set up. It seems like the Mariners will never lose again. So it seems like you really can't touch them. But the bottom team in the wild card, who a team has its flaws in Toronto, you're 2.5 games behind them. You took the series with Oakland, continue to win series. You're 2.5 games back, right? Which means, you know, you do the math, right? If you win 3 out of 4, you take over that wild card spot. If you split, you stay two. I guess you have to sweep to get right there. But if you split, you stay at that 2.5 number. But the worst case scenario is that, you know, you lose 2 in a row the first game, and then all of a sudden you're looking at 4.5 out. And 4.5, Josh, looks just a lot different than 2.5 to me.
It looks so different. 2.5, 4.5, way different.
There's a lot of baseball to be played. We still have 5 games left against Toronto. Right. We have some cupcake games.
There's 8 games left against Toronto.
Oh, I thought we just had one more series after this.
No, I think we have 2 more series.
I don't know about that. But after this, we've got a couple cupcake games against the Red Sox and the Nationals, but it does feel
we play Toronto on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah,
then we play Toronto next Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we finish out the season with Toronto at home again for 3 more games on October 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Oh, I must not have clicked into the October month in my calendar.
Right. So if you think today is important, I hope that those October days are important.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do too, and this. This is what we signed up for, Josh. We talked about it last week, how exciting it is for baseball in September. But that also means, like, that you care about baseball in September, which means you can be let down. And that's what happened today. We were let down. This is what happens when you have baseball in September that matters.
Right. It is. And that's the thing. It's meaningful baseball. But I prefer meaningful baseball that goes my way. Yeah. Meaningful baseball that knocks me down stings and hurts. And thankfully, I'm not a bandwagon fan, and I feel sorry for the bandwagon fans because they can't. It's not like they can go back to the Nationals.
Yeah, I mean, but you can hop off, right? There's still time. If you look, I mentioned the fan graphs. Josh, do you know what our playoff chances are now?
I have no idea.
Take a guess.
0.02%.
It's at 3%.
3.
Yeah. Right. A couple of days ago, we were 11%.
Yeah. It's
and now we're 3%. So it's significant losses. And you alluded to it at the open. It hurts to lose a doubleheader, and it hurts to go out as you did. Like, if you want to go out, if you're going to go out, you don't want to go out with Mike Bauman and Keegan Aiken and Nick Vespi pitching 3 days in a row to be replaced by Bruce Zimmerman. Let's throw all the lefties at one of the best lefty hitting teams in baseball. It's not a bunch of inexperienced guys. It exposes the Orioles. It felt like 2021. Very much felt like the game I was thinking we would watch before the season started. All those vibes of this is the season that we should have had, but we ended up not having for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess I get going into today that Jordan Lyles woke up sick. So that screwed your plans up. But it didn't screw him up that much because you still had Michael Bauman selected as the second game. So I guess throwing Keegan Aiken in for the second game wasn't a plan. But the pitching kept you in it for 8 innings. And it's way different to pitch when you've got a little lead or when you feel like your team is in it versus when you feel like your team is not in it and not going anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, we usually don't break down like the game per se, just talk about bigger storylines. But that first, to break it down real quick, that first game in the doubleheader, there was 2 mishaps by Gunnar Henderson. One turned the double play. The other one starting the double play. That cost us essentially 2 runs. There was 2 runs that scored. And so at the end of the game, you know, when you go to D.L. Hall with the down one run, if Gunnar Henderson didn't make those mistakes, you would have gone to not D.L. Hall. You would probably gone to, you know, right, Dylan Tate and then Bautista, of course. But in the reverse position, even down one, you go to D.L. Hall because you're down one, not up one. But it very much also felt like, so that was a very winnable game. But it also felt like Hyde was in this weird position where the line of construction and what was supposed to be the pitching construction was set up to win game one. Like, right, that's the game you got to take.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, with Bauman moving up to the first game, then it's like you're kind of trying to win game one, but your game two lineup is still inferior. I mean, we talked about before, never bet when Chirinos is catching or bet against the Orioles, because we just win less games when he catches. So it seems like you were set up to win the first game, but then you were moving Bauman, who's spent his year at Norfolk up here.
Right.
The majority of the pitchers today, Bruce Zimmerman and Bauman, who threw the most innings today, are Norfolk guys who just arrived here.
But,
and they're throwing the majority of your innings in kind of the two biggest games of the season. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, but you did it, and I've seen a lot of people online do it today with that first loss, is try to blame it on Gunnar Henderson. And Gunnar Henderson's...
Oh, did people really blame it on Gunnar? Good. Give a guy a little heat. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they don't really blame it on Gunnar. They blame it on Hyde for putting Gunnar in that situation.
Isn't that ironic? Can we just sit with the irony of this for a second?
That 2 days ago we were...
Yeah, everyone whines and complains. Why was Odor at second? Why is Odor at second?
Right.
And Hyde says, like, part of the reason is Odor is the best to turn double plays. And here's two opportunities to turn double plays that Gunnar doesn't come through with while he's playing second base. It's kind of ironic.
Right.
You can't have both ways.
Yeah. But I also feel like that's not fair either to put it on the pitching or even the defense in that first game, because there were so many missed opportunities with runners in scoring position where we would get guys on first and second. We'd get guys on third, and we could not get them in. And I think the bats, the storyline of the Orioles the past couple weeks has been the bats, and they're just not scoring runs. I mean, I get it. Against the A's, we scored 5 and we scored 8. But then on Sunday, we scored 0. Today, we scored 3 and we scored 4. Last week with Cleveland, we scored 3, we scored 4, we scored 1. With Houston, we scored 2, we scored 3, we scored 1. The reason we took that Houston series and Cleveland series was because of the pitching. And the problem is, the pitching is supposed to be our weakness. This offense is supposed to be scoring runs, and it's not doing it. And it's not just Odor. Odor hit a home run today. It's not Odor that is struggling in this lineup. It's a lot of guys who are in slumps at the same time. Hayes has been in a slump. Rushman's been in a little slump. Mullins has been in a little slump. Even Santander went 0 for 5 tonight. So I kind of I expect a whole lot more out of this lineup right now. And it felt like the lineup has carried this team, and suddenly the lineup in the bullpen. And now the lineup struggled, and the starting pitching stepped up and really carried this team the past week. But we know the starting pitching is our weakness, so we shouldn't be too surprised that the starting pitching wasn't able to get us through the past 3 games, yesterday and today.
Yeah. I mean, even to go with that point, the offense, I mean, today I think we had 4 home runs, 2 by Santander in the game. And then we had the Mountcastle, and then we had the door. Yeah. And how are you going to score 7 runs today and have 4 home runs?
Right.
There has been kind of a lack of a balanced attack, right? Besides the sporadic home runs.
Nah, I feel like we all talk about the Earl Weaver special, the 3-run home run. I think we need to start calling the 2022 Orioles special the solo shot. Solo shots are nothing.
Yeah, and maybe you got to look at the lineup of construction and look at guys. I mean, we got guys like Mountcastle and Hayes, who now we have a long enough track record. Even Odor, who we know they're streaky hitters, and they're not kind of high OBP guys because they're kind of too streaky. And when they're riding hot, they're fun to get behind. But when they're not, or if 2 or 3 of them are slumping at the same time, it can be tough to watch.
Yeah.
And to your previous point about the starting pitching, yeah, I mean, if you look at the takeaway for me this season, there's almost really nothing that surprises me at all about this offense going to where I thought we'd be at the beginning of the year to right now. Adley's really good. I thought he'd be really good. Gunner's probably, you know, a little better than I thought he would be, but I thought Gunner was good last year. We've been talking about him for a couple years now. This offense has performed as expected. This is why I predicted us to win whatever 70 games is because I did not expect the pitching to be as good as it has been. Specifically, right. You're right. Recently, the starting pitching, that to me is kind of the biggest storyline. The fact that Watkins has been good, that Kramer's has been good, that both we turned around and is good. Like, that's the, to me, that screams as the biggest storyline this season that we found these pitchers. But there's also part of me that was always waiting for it to kind of fall off, because where did this come from? Last year, Watkins was not good. Last year, Kramer was not good. Earlier this year, Volpe was not good and Watkins weren't good. And all of a sudden, these are now like elite pitchers holding teams to 1 and 0 runs. And the other thing this exposes, let's go back to the Jorge Lopez trade. Having to go to DL Hall because maybe you don't have other bullpen options. You can think about the Jorge Lopez being traded. But for me, like, what exposed here is our lack of depth in kind of starting pitching, that we were forced to pitch to Zimmerman and Bauman. And so the need to trade Jorge Lopez for more starting pitching actually makes even more sense, because this is where we're lacking. And we're hurting now. I mean, Means, of course, is out for the year. Rodriguez is out. He's coming back. Wells is out. He's coming back. So it hurts. I mean, and those you could argue are top three most talented starting pitchers. So it hurts having all those guys at the same time. But also, this is why a lot of people thought they wouldn't win a lot of games this year, is because of our lack of quality pitching depth. And that was exposed. And I don't know what the future holds for Bauman. I don't know what the future holds for Zimmerman. But it's hard to imagine them being starting pitchers on a competitive kind of playoff chasing baseball team. And yet here we were chasing for that last wildcard spot. And we're throwing out a combo of Aiken, Vespi, and Zimmerman, three guys who might not have places on this team even as early as next year. And of course, with the first team with Bauman. So it's a tough look. I think it's a good reminder, though, of kind of where the Orioles are at, like a good reality check. Like, we can't run next year with the same start rotation. Like, this is an area we need depth.
Yep.
I hope Lyles was really sick. I don't hope he was really sick, but like, you must be, because Lyles is a gamer too. Like, Lyles is the kind of guy who's like, I've thrown 105 pitches, coach. I'll go out there and throw another inning. I don't care. I'll go out there and throw 120. Like, right. Lyles is a gamer, so he must have been really sick to.
Yeah, I trust that Lyles wasn't just hiding from the Blue Jays.
Yeah,
I trust that Lyles was sick, and then
he didn't pull a Randy Johnson and have too many beers before the game.
No,
I finally just finished listening, by the way, to the rumor. That was a reference to the final rumor episode. I'm a little behind,
like 6 months ago.
I know. I just had time to listen to it over this Labor Day weekend.
But I think it's a reality check. It doesn't mean the season's done, but it also,
like I said, a bunch more games with the Blue Jays.
Bunch of games, eight more games against the Blue Jays. But it's a wake up call of that next year's the year. This year we've already outperformed what we're supposed to do. This year, it's a wake up call that we're in the AL East. We would be in first place if we were in the AL Central. It's a wake up call to all that. It's a reminder that, hey, next year gets easier because of the strength of schedule stuff. We don't play the Blue Jays a billion times. So there's some stuff there that it's like, next year is definitely our year, but it also stings because this year was so much fun. That it was definitely a reality check that we haven't had this summer. We've been waiting for it. This is normally what we feel in like June, early July. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, no, I understand that feeling. And I think, like, listen, if you could argue, you could make the argument and you could like convince me maybe if you look at next year, John Means is going to return at some point early next year. Right. Rodriguez will be their opening day, hopefully. We can maybe talk about Theo Hall later and what his future is. And then you add Tyler Wells, you know, Austin Voth. Why? And we've done on here before where all of a sudden you got like 8-9 starters who you could see starting for this team. And maybe you could make the argument, well, maybe we don't need a Carlos Rendon. Like maybe we don't need to go and sign a top free agent pitcher because we can just put it together with these guys. But the reality is no. Like you right. need those proven guys. You need depth to pitch in these big games. And I don't know how we got here really. Like I didn't look up the construction. I know part of this whole conversation, we would be having a completely different conversation if Lyles just didn't get sick. And it's so random, and you can't predict it, and that's what kind of stinks.
It's like 89. It reminds me of 89 when we went in for like the final game to play the Blue Jays up in the Sky Dome, and Pete Harnish was the starter, and he stepped on a nail.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, then we had to put random out there.
You just can't plan for that.
And planned. And it just it screwed up that magical year, and that's kind of how today felt. Thankfully, the season's not over.
And you're right. It wouldn't even be that big of a deal. But then the fact that that coincided with a doubleheader, like if it wasn't doubleheader, okay,
yeah.
Michael Bauman pitches in Lyle's place and Lyle pitches tomorrow, or you just go with the next guy in the rotation, whoever's scheduled.
Right, to skip a rotation.
And just put Lyle's in whenever you want. Like it's not a big deal. But the fact that it fell on a doubleheader that you didn't see it coming, I didn't even think goodness Bruce Zimmerman was here. I didn't know that Bruce Zimmerman was even called up for the game.
I didn't know he was called up either.
Must have been the extra man for the doubleheader, yeah.
Yeah. But it's so random that it's a doubleheader, that Lyles gets sick, that it's against the team that you have to beat. But the good news is we play that team 8 more times. So if we win the next 2 games, who cares? It's going to come down to those final 6. We're back to where we started. It puts some pressure on for those next couple games, and it means we have to stop. With missed opportunities. It would have been nice to sweep Oakland. I know it's hard to sweep any team, even bad teams, but Oakland's bad. We've got 2 coming up against the Nationals next week. We got to get both of those. You have to take the good teams, take advantage of the bad teams. And now's the time that we need to step up and see a little bit of that.
Yeah, Bradish pitches tomorrow. That's a dub. That's a dub. I'm putting the books right now. Tomorrow's a win. I might not even watch it because I know it's a win. It's not very exciting when you know the outcome already. Bradish is a win tomorrow. I guarantee you will win tomorrow for the Orioles. Wednesday, you got Kramer versus Manoa. Manoa's really good. I think that's going to be a good game.
Kramer's been outstanding lately.
Yeah. That's go to my booking, bet the under.
And as much as I bash the offense on today, Kevin Gausman has pitched this way for the past 3 years. Since he left Baltimore, Kevin Gausman been one of the best pitchers in baseball. We saw him earlier this season, and we knocked him around. Scored 7 runs on him. He had a bad day. Today is the normal Kevin Gausman. So there's also always the fact that the Blue Jays are in it because of starting pitching like Kevin Gausman.
Yeah, the Blue Jays have a legit roster. They went out and did what hopefully will do and signed big-name free agents like Kevin Gausman, who signed for a lot of money, pitched well with the Giants and got a huge contract to come with the Blue Jays. Josh, your thoughts real quick. Deal Hall, just curious. He came in, in the 8th inning? Was it 8th or 9th inning in a 1-run game?
Yeah.
I guess it was 9th inning, the top of the 9th in a 1-run game. We were down by 1.
I saw DL Hall in his first start in Tropicana.
Yeah.
You've seen DL Hall in the minors?
Sure, I have a couple times in the minors,
In the minors, did he have these control issues, or is it the big game pressure that he's having major control issues when he's pitching for the Orioles?
Yeah, I mean, his last relief appearance, he looked really good, but there was no pressure in the situation. Right. I don't know if it's a pressure thing. I don't know if it's a...
He threw that ball 6 feet out of the strike zone today.
Yeah, it was one of the
Rick Shade. I know we had lots of bad calls today by the ump in that first game, but I mean, there was no question that ball had a better chance of leaving the stadium than crossing the strike zone.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where the catcher didn't even get it. It just bounced all the way back
to DL
Hall, and he got it. I mean, that's the thing about him, which is unfortunate. I've seen him pitch. I've never seen him when he's been really bad like that. I've never seen him. I've only seen him when he's dominant. And even when he's dominant, maybe go to full counts more than he should because his stuff's so good.
Okay.
But I think it's just like some days he just doesn't have it. And today he just didn't have it. And occasionally in the minors, he just won't have it. But then but there are three or four starts where it looks so dominant. And then one start will be like, he just doesn't have it. The ball's going everywhere. And I wonder if a guy like that is a guy you want to be pitching in a one-run game in a kind of a playoff-type atmosphere. I'm not sure if that's where I would have gone with it. The other argument,
is there anything truth to the argument or the rumor that the giant gold chain he was wearing while pitching was throwing off his balance?
This is the first time he's worn that giant gold chain his entire career, so maybe that did affect him. It was a weird decision to start.
It was so big. I think it was bigger than the home run chain.
Yeah. I don't know. I always wonder if it slows base runners down when they wear that. Get rid of all the other stuff.
I don't know. I always wonder, like, with base runners, how that doesn't, like, get caught in a tag or something.
Yeah.
And for pitchers, I always don't understand how your body goes through so much motion to throw the ball, how the jewelry doesn't, like, get in your way and distracted. And, yeah, like, hit your neck weird or something. Like, I do not understand wearing jewelry while playing sports.
Yeah, I don't really either. We could talk all day about accessories. I don't really understand why. Now it seems like, I don't think it was always the case. It seems like now, though, every player, when they get to first base, puts on the little hand sliding guard.
Yeah.
You notice that? It's not even like, it used to be like base stealers, maybe.
Right.
Now it's
I think it's twofold. I think it's one, everyone's so worried about protecting their hands.
Yeah, protecting your fingers.
And I also think it's a strategy thing. If Mullins is the only one putting that on, then Mullins is going to steal. So I think even Odor puts it on to be like, hey, I might steal.
Hmm.
I think it's a strategy thing.
I don't know about that, but I buy the protecting the fingers. But yeah, anyway, I think D.L. Hall, I'm not like sending him back to the minors. Like, I think it's, but I thought he was going to be used for a while exclusively in these non-high leverage situations. But this is a high leverage situation.
So that brings it back to, did Brandon Hyde believe that today was as high pressure as all of his Oriole fans did?
Yeah.
Because he didn't play it. There were a ton of bad calls in the first game, and he never went out and ran the dugout to argue these. Why aren't you out there and arguing and standing behind your players when a strikeout is getting called on a ball 8 inches below the strike zone?
Well, it was more like 2 inches, but I agree. It's kind of like, I was thinking about this today. I was watching the game, and my mind was going back. It's almost like I just took a new job here in Georgia. And I was doing something the other day I didn't really want to do. I have to follow up on these placements and make sure these kids are placed in these high schools. It's a lot of extra work for me, even outside of my kind of school hours. It's kind of annoying. And I was thinking back, you know, if I wasn't here right now, you know, working on this at 5 o'clock on a Friday night, well, maybe if I was at my old job, I would be just at home chilling, not worried about anything related to school, because at 3 o'clock I'm checked and I'm done. I think we have a tendency, right? Even though I know, like, this was a great career move for me. I'm super happy. But when things don't go wrong, I tend to look back in the past and think, oh, maybe it was better back then, even though I know I made the right move. I feel like sometimes I think about this team when I watch Hyde. I think about how would Buck Showalter have reacted to Ryan Mountcastle being called strike three at the end of the game with a ball 3 inches below. I got a feeling Buck Showalter would have run out there. And I know, right, like, for the betterment of this franchise, it was a necessary move. We had to move on from Buck Showalter. It made all the sense in the world at the time. It still does. But sometimes you go back and you think about Buck and you think, oh, how would Buck would have handled this? You know, we don't want to get into Buck and bullpen decisions a la Eduardo Jimenez, But still, you knew Buck would always kind of stand up and have the guys back. And yeah, would I like Manager Hyde to go in there and yell at somebody? Sure, get fired up a little bit, sure. But again, Hyde would probably also win the Manager of the Year. So I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and again, like we were saying, today seems more dramatic than it really is. And I think it's simply a bad game.
Two games out of 162. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy though, right? Because you can criticize Hyde for why would you always put Odor at second? And then one day you don't put Odor at second, you put Gunner at second, and all of a sudden you criticize Hyde for putting Gunner at second and making a couple mistakes. On one hand, like the manager's job, like you only get noticed when like something goes wrong, right? Like it's, sure. if Henderson just made the plays he normally always makes, Hyde wouldn't have received that criticism. If right. you know, if DL Hall goes out there and throws, you know, gets three outs like he should, then no one's criticizing Hyde, right? Like it's just Hyde gets blamed when other people don't do their jobs that they probably should do. But the life of a manager,
right?
Let's see.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I also want to mention, just thinking about today's game, you mentioned the over five. I like to focus on the two home run game from either side of the plate. First person to do that in one of those uniforms since Roberto Alomar hit home runs from the left side and the right side. Josh, it seems to me Santander has been really, really, it doesn't just seem to me, it's a reality.
It is.
It's a fact. He's been really good, especially yeah. since the All-Star break. He started off great. Cooled off a little bit, and then since the All-Star break has been fantastic.
He's been excellent.
It seems to me,
no question.
When you look at GMs, we often talk about the moves that GMs make. It feels like Santander has been the trade deadline his entire career with the Orioles. It seems like not trading Santander is turning out to be a good move, I think.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I think not trading him has been fine. I think we still might trade him in the offseason. But I don't think we will enjoy him. You think he's now part of the future?
If you look at that outfield, Hayes, Mullins, Santander, you could make an argument that Santander is the most consistent. And you talked about a struggling offense. Santander has been your number three hitter the entire year. He's been one of your best hitters the entire year. I know he lacks on defense sometimes. I'd like him to play DH more. But... I think Santander, I think you need his offense, actually, unless you go out there and replace him with someone good. I don't think you can just lose Santander and not replace him with someone as good or better. So, yeah, I think Santander is, for me, off the trade block. He was there at the trade deadline. He was there last year. But I think he's proven to be so good and so consistent. And this lineup needs it because you're not getting consistent production at other parts of the lineup that I think he has to be here next year.
That's yeah, I can opinion. See that. I guess the thought would be, yeah, if this year represents next year, or if you go into next year saying Hayes is going to produce, Mullins is going to produce, Mountcastle is going to produce, you know, you can easily, or you're going to sign a guy. But then why sign a guy if you've got a guy in-house already?
Yeah, the only argument you could make as well, and this argument I don't think Hyde or Elias can make with a straight face based on their behavior this year is, well, we have so much confidence in Stowers that Stowers is going to be that guy every day that we can get rid of Mancini. Right. Right? We can trade Santander and Stowers can be that guy. But they hate to play Stowers. They only play Stowers if they have no other choice.
And I don't get it because I've been enjoying watching Stowers. He got a big hit today. I like watching Stowers play.
Yeah, I know. And part of me is like, even when Gunner messes up, even when Stowers strikes out, like I would 100% rather watch Stowers strike out than watch Jesus Aguilar strike out. Give me Stowers striking out of DH or wherever you play him over Jesus Aguilar.
I do not understand Jesus Aguilar on this team. He finally got his
Brett
first
Phillips
hit today.
Thing. I don't get it either. It's like we needed quick. We needed someone like Brett Phillips, who's here but doesn't produce, a veteran who's been bad this year for to help our playoff push.
Right, and it's not like you need him. He was today. He was he DH today or was he first base today?
I don't know. He's done both DH and first base. I think he DH today.
And it's like, so you brought in this guy to DH when you could have Stowers or Mountcastle or Gunner or Rutschman. You got guys that can DH. You didn't have to sign a guy to be a DH.
Yeah, and he's a first base DH only, right? And you thought, well, maybe when you trade Mancini, oh, that's what Mancini was, essentially. I didn't play outfield, but...
But I thought the whole story was that Gunner would play first base some.
Yeah, he was getting... He was getting reps over there at first base.
And I know he struggled with turning the double play today, but it's easier to play first base. If Mountcastle can play first base...
I also thought the plan was to play Rutschman at first base, too. I thought that was the plan, too.
Yeah, he did. He didn't. He played a few in the minors?
He did in the minors, played a few. Right,
same thought. And it's like, I get Mountcastle. Like, Mountcastle's been your first baseman every day. And apparently there's no confidence in anyone else playing first base because you signed Jesus Aguilera just because you didn't trust Nevins. So you're like, we got to bring in someone, and you don't trust Rutschman or Gunner there. At this point, I'd give Odor a chance to try first base, whatever, anyone. It's first base.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's just like the Brett Phillips made everyone shake their head. Yeah. Now the Aguilar makes everyone shake their head. Because you're right, in this lineup, I could see, okay, maybe first base. But he's playing DH. Like, he's not, clearly not your best hitting option out there. But you must think he is. But it shows, I don't know if he's only Hyde or
I don't know.
But the lack of trust in Vavra and Stowers, like Vavra and Stowers were these kind of, they're not super high prospects, but prospects who now are relegated to more bench roles. And then when something opens up, instead of like letting them play, they sign a random veteran off the trash heap to take a spot of a young player. Part of it is, I hope this is true, that the Orioles feel strongly that player development can happen at the major league kind of spot without playing in games, right? Like they're doing on the drills, they're practicing. Like, I really feel like they must feel like we can develop Stowers, we can develop Vavra, even if they're not playing every day. Though it's hard for me as an outsider to think, how is Stowers and Vavra going to get better unless they're getting at bats? In-game at bats. I don't know. And then this year, again, it's not just that. It's not just that. I just think if I have more confidence right now, I don't care if the pitcher's lefty or righty, I just have more confidence in the Stowers than in Aguilar. That's just where I'm at right now. And or Brett Phillips before that. And that's not where the Orioles are at. So it's just a little bit weird to me.
Yeah, I don't get it. And that's where it's not even, I don't know. You wonder, like, who's making these calls? Is that all on manager Hyde? Is he the one calling who plays, who doesn't play? Or is this coming from Elias? I don't know. Like, because you see it in both directions. You see it with Stowers and Vavra on the bench all the time. And then you see it with bringing in guys like Brett Phillips and Aguilera, which is Elias moves. So you're seeing both of them make these moves.
Yeah. They're conspiring together. And it almost feels like a little bit, you know, the Brett Phillips signing and the Jesus signing. It feels like the Orioles that just this week claimed Jake Reed from the Dodgers.
Right.
And they've had a lot of success claiming bullpen arms, you know, and turning them into good pitchers.
But they're trying to do it.
The Bakers. And it's almost like they're saying, well, we did this with bullpen arms, so maybe we can do this with these kind of middling veteran bats. Maybe they see something in their swing or something that we can do what we did with the pitchers. We can transform these bats too. But so far, kind of 0-for-2 with trying this.
I will say, when I saw the Tide down here playing the Jumbo Shrimp, I felt really bad for Brett Phillips playing at a AAA level after a good long career in the majors, that he's now at the AAA level.
Well, that's why when I saw the Gwinnett Stripers, that's how I felt about Darren O'Day.
Yeah. You know what made me not feel so bad though? I looked up his salary and saw that the Orioles were paying him like $3 million or something. And I was like, oh, that's why you're sticking around on a bus.
Brad Phillips?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those, yeah. I mean, those guys, I mean, O'Day is weird because he's made a ton of money. There's no reason for him to really still play, but
right.
He just must love pitching. Good for him.
Those guys, all they've done their entire life is play baseball. So yeah. It's hard to hang it up.
I would be the same way. Like, why? I don't care. I would throw for the minors, even if I made a bunch of money just to play baseball.
Exactly. It goes back to that whole thing of it's a kid's game. We play for fun. The money just happens to be there.
Yeah.
No one plays for the – well, very few people play for the money. The people who play for the money burn out fast.
Yeah. Yeah, some people. It reminds me of that. This always stuck out to me. The Hall of – this is a random thing, just a random comment about – the Football Hall of Fame, Curtis Martin, great running back for the Patriots and Jets, I believe, his Hall of Fame speech. He said, yeah, I didn't really love football, but I just made a lot of money and I knew I could do so much good with the money. So I kept on playing so I could get the money so I could do a lot of good in the world with the money. That was a cool response. But he said he didn't really love football.
Right.
I think that's he's the exception, not the rule.
Right. But I see... Yeah, I think that's more of a football thing where you saw that with like a guy like Dominique Foxworth who put in his years and then said, you know what? I'm stepping out now before I get hurt. I made the money. Step back time. And you see that a lot in the NFL where baseball guys linger.
Yeah, did I see Dominique on the – was he on the PTI? Did you see that?
I didn't see him on PTI, but he's got his own ESPN show and stuff. He's
I'm
all
pretty
over
sure
ESPN.
He did a PTI episode. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 60% sure.
Probably he knows like First Take and everything, so yeah. I don't know why he wouldn't fill in on PTI.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. He posted PTI on August 26th.
Oh, so he did?
Yep.
All right, yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
Other Orioles news, I mentioned Jake Reed. To make that 40-man move happen, they did a couple things. The one thing they did do was Jonathan Araúz, who we got from Boston, who played in a handful of games, and with another one of those kind of scratcher decisions, like why is this guy taking reps from a guy like Vavra? But Jonathan Araúz was put. I don't really understand how this works. He's put on the restricted list, and according to MLB trade rumors. It says, Araúz, here's his write-up from today. This is the corresponding move to claiming the reliever Jake Reed from the Dodgers. It says, Araúz was claimed off waivers from the Red Sox in June. He spent most of his Orioles tenure on optional assignment for Norfolk, but hasn't appeared in a game since last Friday. The club hasn't provided a reason for his absence, but Araúz will not count against the 40-man, nor will he be paid for any time he spends on the restricted list. I don't even know what the restricted list is, Josh. It's just kind of just a weird nugget that I was reading today on MLB trade rumors. So Jake Reed, I assume, will go to Norfolk to join the likes of, you know, Bo Salser, who is actually, you know, here with the Orioles now, but all the just the Phoenix Sanders, just the, I feel like just a revolving door of relievers that we pick up.
Yeah. I just saw this quote from Bo Bichette, shortstop for the Jays.
Yeah, had three home runs today.
Yeah. Here's his post-game quote after tonight's game. As a group, we understand the magnitude of what's going on right now. I think today is the most competitive we've been all year. That's a good thing at this time of the year. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's how this Oriole fan base felt. Like, we all knew today's the day. Big impact games. And I feel like we did not see that out of the Orioles clubhouse where the Jays came in and said, hey, we can knock these guys down. We can really set ourselves up.
Yeah.
And Bichette did not.
But the reality of it is, the Orioles did, Bichette did three times. But the reality of it is, Josh, the Blue Jays have been a team in the making for the past, you know, 3-4 years.
Yes. Like
this is... They put all the chips on the table last year and this year.
Oh, they're 2 years ahead of us at a minimum.
Oh, yeah, I would say 3 or 4 years ahead of us. So So they're where we should be at next year and going forward.
Yeah. Yes.
We're not where they're at. We're just like roster-wise, roster build, how much money you invest, quality of players. Like we're not where the Blue Jays are. And that's why Fangraphs, even prior when we're just two games out, had us only at a 10% chance.
No, but the problem is I'm greedy.
Yeah.
No, we are at 70. We got 71 wins. That is beyond, like, we could lose the rest of the season and we still outperformed what we were expecting to do this year.
Yeah,
and we're not anyone out there. If you bet preseason on the amount of over-under wins for the Orioles, you've already cashed your money.
No, they won't cash it out, Josh. I bet and I won, but they won't give me my money until the end of the season.
I know they didn't pay you, but you already won. Like, there's no way the Orioles can go back and lose six and win only 61 games.
It's never been done before.
No, it never will be done. I'll bet $1,000 the Orioles win more than 61 games this year.
Okay.
So they're playing with house money all the time. And all we've asked for as Oriole fans for years is play meaningful baseball until football season arrives. Well, the Orioles gave us that.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they gave me lots of things to be hopeful for next year. So, yeah, I'm greedy. I want more. I want playoff baseball this year. But I understand at the same time that that's me being greedy. And that next year is when I really need to set my expectations.
Yeah, and I think manager Hyde and Mike Elias said, this team is not ready for the playoffs. It's not part of our plan, five-year plan. So we're going to tank these two games against the Blue Jays because it's not part of our master plan, because that's how Elias rolls. He's dedicated to the plan.
Trust his process.
Trust the process.
Tank in 2022.
Yeah, but hey, we talked prior to the season that this is going to be one of the most exciting seasons since you know Elias got here. Because
I like this.
Yeah,
you think Elias said at trade deadline said, "Oh crap, we're supposed to be the surprise next year. If we do good this year, we can't be the surprise coming in out of nowhere like the Astros were. Like people are supposed to laugh at us going into next year." And we come in and win the World Series. Now we're setting our expectations too high and screwing it up.
Yeah, no, I'm. You know what's interesting? We can get into this later, but like, does this season being good, does it change? Could it change the mind of a free agent or two? Where if we're coming off another kind of 60-win season, a free agent isn't going to be impressed with who you have in Bowie, right? But all of a sudden, if you win, 84 games this year, how many games that we end up winning, all of a sudden a free agent and all the positive buzz the Orioles have gotten, everyone's talking about how the Orioles are an up-and-coming team and they're going to be a team to reckon with. And so all of a sudden for a free agent, given what we did this year, given all the buzz, a free agent could be like, listen, this just team is just a piece or two away from being serious World Series contender. And where that combined with the wall now being 600 feet away, those two factors might lead a pitcher to say, hey, listen, this team is competitive. I want to win. This team can win. So I do wonder if this year being good has a ton of benefits, right? It teaches the players how to win. It boosts morale. It's like it puts them in high-pressure games. Like even if we don't make the playoffs, a lot of good stuff comes with being good and winning. But another benefit could be you could attract that one or two or three top free agents that you want to get who might not come to a team that loses 100 games every year. Because you can see, no, like this team is well-managed. This team is well-run. This team is up and coming. Let me hop on and be a part of this. I think it could, of course, the money counts at the end of the day, but it could sway us way. Someone.
Yeah, no, I see your viewpoint of pursuit. Yeah, kind of convincing someone. And I guess for what they could also do for the Orioles is help with season ticket sales for next year. Because I'll tell you what, this weekend series, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, the crowds were decent. I was just looking it up. And it was 30,000 on Saturday. Was Saturday a giveaway game?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, wasn't that soccer jerseys?
Oh, yes. All right, 30,000 for soccer jerseys. 25,000 today, which was a Mount Castle giveaway and a doubleheader.
And a funky weather day. It rained a lot. So I don't know.
What type of weather day?
A funky weather.
Funky weather day. Okay.
Yeah. Funky weather.
Sunday was 19,000, which seems a little low, but Sunday afternoon games suck. Yeah. It's so hot. Friday night. Do you know what the number was for Friday night?
Friday nights usually draw a good crowd.
No giveaway.
Yeah. No giveaway.
But you're coming home from just winning the series against Houston and the series against Cleveland, beating two first place teams.
Yeah, I would say 19,000, 20,000 maybe.
13,000. Okay. You were welcomed back to your home ball club with 13,000.
Very enthusiastic fans.
Yeah, and I mean, and I can say it's. I think 13,000 is ridiculous, and it's extremely disappointing because on Thursday night, the Oakland A's at the Washington Nationals had 25,000, 26,000.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
For what reason?
No idea. There's no idea.
I don't believe that number. You added an extra zero to that number.
No.
A, I don't believe that number. B, if that's a number, a real thing, there was something happening. It was something, a giveaway of $100 for a game or something.
No, hold on. I'm going to pull up.
All right. It was Oakland versus the Nationals, Oakland, two of the worst drawing attendance teams in the league. Okay.
Oakland at the Nationals Thursday night, the day before Oakland came to Baltimore. 26,877 people went to that game. Friday night in Baltimore, 13,000. Explain that to me, besides the fact that the only thing I can say is because we were projected to be so bad, we didn't have season ticket holders. So season ticket holders held us back. And then the walk-up crowds looked at the schedule and said, oh, if I go on Saturday or on Monday, I get a T-shirt. So I bought my tickets on Saturday or Monday. But Friday at 13,000 is extremely disappointed for Birdland.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
You don't believe me about that Nats 26,000, do you?
No,
I don't. It's really pathetic.
Well, I'm not. I don't think 13,000 is pathetic, but I just don't believe the 26,000 number. And
I'm saying the Nationals 26,000 for a 4 o'clock game on a Thursday versus Friday night in Baltimore is pathetic.
Yeah, but my argument with that is the Orioles isn't pathetic. What's happening in the Nationals is so exceptional, it defies my understanding, and so. I just need more information about that Thursday game. Was it also a Trump rally? Like, I don't know what was happening there that got 26,000 people did not come to watch the Nationals versus the Athletics.
You know what? It's got to be season ticket holders because Tuesday and Wednesday were also 26,000 something.
Okay. We're going to revisit this next week. I'm not going to distract my podcast. I'm doing a whole investigative report.
Do a whole investigation.
Yeah, that attendance doesn't seem right to me. The Nationals attendance is pathetic. There's no Oakland fans going to a Nats game.
No.
So that number doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, no, I get really uncomfortable, Josh, judging Oriole fans for not going to games while I live in Macon, Georgia and don't go to any games. I have a hard time judging. I mean, we were season ticket holders forever, so we went to games all the time, even during the losing. So on that respect, I feel like I can judge people, but I'm not going to judge people.
We've been to a lot of bad, pathetic games.
Yeah.
And I've gone to seven Oriole games this year, I believe, as being an out of towner. So I think I can judge the people that live 20 minutes outside of Camden Yards.
Yeah. I don't know. I was even in the games I went to before I moved, I was always struck. And I felt this on Friday too, by kind of that small crowd, by the kind of passion and boisterousness of even the small crowd.
Yeah, the people that are going this year care, and that's fun.
Yeah, like I've been just impressed every time I go to the game, and impressed with how into it. And probably because we're good and we're winning usually when I go, but just how enthusiastic the fans have been, even the smaller crowds. But yeah, I'm curious to see next year. If we make a big signing, I don't think it's as simple as Like people think, oh, you win, you know, this year, you sign a couple free agents, people will show up to the ballpark. I don't think it's that simple.
No, you got to prove yourself. You got to prove that you're for real.
Yeah. I don't know, Josh. If we prove for real, are we still selling out every game? I don't know if it's even that. If it's even that simple.
I don't know.
I know. It's hard to get a ticket.
Complications.
Yeah, it's hard to get tickets to the Braves games. When the Nats moved to Nashville, well,
The Braves. The Braves just won the World Series.
Yeah, but I'm not saying. But yeah, and that's what we'll be at the end of next year. So I'm just saying.
Oh, comparing I see that, what you're saying.
In 2024, we'll be selling out every game like that.
Yeah.
And they don't sell out every game, but just it's
enough season ticket holders that it's full every week, every day.
Right. And when the Nationals move in a couple of years, I think that'll boost season ticket sales as well.
I tried to explain to a friend this week about how when the Nats came to town, we went from a large market team to a small market team. And he did not buy it. And I said, you don't understand.
You cut out half the market.
Yeah. You cut out half the market and you do not, unless you live there, you do not understand how much the Baltimore and DC market is intertwined. I said, when I lived in Maryland, my home was the same distance, whether I wanted to go to Camden Yards or Nats Park. Therefore, I could go either direction.
Well, it's how many awkward fans are there of Orioles and the football
and Redskins. Yeah. Or whatever. The Commanders.
I apologize for calling them the football team. I'm sorry if I offend anyone. It's the Commanders. The Commanders. But yeah, how many Orioles Commanders fans are there? And that's proof to your point where there's just so much crossover in fandom there. If you live in Annapolis, you go either way. And there's a lot of people.
And then you get all those Red Sox fans in Severna Park.
Yeah, not to mention PG County. We go by county by county. And I mean, outside of Baltimore City and Baltimore County, all the other counties probably a little bit divided in their allegiance to Washington versus Baltimore.
Yeah, sure.
So it's a huge deal, a huge impact on our fandom. But I mean, that's another thing to watch out for. I don't want to get ahead of myself because we're still in it this year. The season's not over.
No, it's not over.
We've been at less.
Despite what you read 3% on
Fangraphs. We started out at 0%. So we're even higher still than we started at the beginning of the year. So we're not out of it. But I really am curious to see when we're at full go, what does our payroll look like? I'm really curious to see.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, I hope I can't wait. I'm still a little skeptical. We'll see what the payroll is.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I'm excited, but I'm, even more excited. Like, today was a tough day, and I'm glad we're podcasting today because it's nice to talk this out and get this out of our system because it is. Today, we win the next 2 days, no big deal. We're back in it. We're back to where we were.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, 8 games left with Toronto, plus some easier games mixed in there. I'm not worried. I'm not too worried. It just sucked because it was a chance. It was a statement time, and we didn't make a statement.
But at the end of the day, well, we'll go back to where we started. We threw Bauman and a combination of Aiken, Vespi on pitching 3 days in a row, and Zimmerman against Jose Barrios and Kevin Gausman. Two highly paid starting pitchers. Yeah. I think Barrios, they traded for Barrios maybe, but Gausman was definitely a free agent signing. But two kind of legit, these aren't kind of taxi squad guys, two legit proven good major leaguers against what we've been doing all year, throwing these 4A guys on the wall and hoping they kind of impress. And amazingly, they have been impressing for the majority of the season. Except this year, or this game, this doubleheader, reality said in a little bit. Because listen, you shouldn't win this game on paper. You look at it, but again, we talked about before. Vegas has lost a ton of money on the Orioles because on paper, all year the Orioles should have been losing these games, but somehow we kept on winning and winning and winning and winning, and so it just sucks that we lose two. That on paper we should have lost. But again, we should lose the majority of our games on paper. But we did not exceed expectations tonight, which is unfortunate.
Just a tough day.
Yeah, tough day. Tough day. Surprised Josh didn't throw out your button. Everything is sad, whatever that button is.
Everything is the sad, everything is
the
awesome.
Everything is awesome, your song. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all not right. This. Everything. No, the sad that. One.
Yeah, the sad
one. I don't know. I don't have the sad one loaded up. Because this hasn't been a this has not been a summer of that. Hey, I do want to say thank you to Drizzle on Twitter. I don't know his real name, but okay. He posted on Twitter that he was wearing
Drizzle's the cooler than his real name anyway.
Yeah, he was wearing the Section 336 shirt to the game today.
So I saw that. Very cool.
Always cool to see that. Always cool to see. Now that I am a t-shirt vendor, it's cool to see all those shirts showing up at the stadiums. I've seen a few Why Not shirts showing up in people and stuff, but it's extra special when it's a 336 shirt.
Yep, those are my favorite shirts. Absolutely. Yep. All right. And to end on a high note, Rodriguez Rodriguez starts in Bowie this week, so you can check out Rodriguez. I don't know if it's Tuesday or Thursday. I forget one of those days, but you can check the Twitters and see. But go out and see Rodriguez make another rehab start. Hopefully, he'll throw more than one inning at Bowie. But one step closer to the Orioles. So he is not a Bauman or a Aiken or a Vespi or a Zimmerman. Rodriguez is not one of those guys. He is legit. So, yeah.
And he's a guy that we still – he's going to rehab on Tuesday in Bowie.
Okay, Tuesday. Yeah, so go see – but then Josh will be mad at you for not going to the Orioles game on Tuesday. But I say go see Rodriguez at Bowie.
No, go see Rodriguez. Go see Rodriguez. And he's still a guy that we're going to see up here in Baltimore maybe this year. Still, yeah. There's still chance.
Not September, April. Book it.
Yeah, he'll be there in April. I'm sure of that.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm confident that he'll be there.
You're confident he'll make opening day.
I think John Means will make opening day. I think all these naysayers that say, oh, May, June for John Means, I think they haven't been paying attention to recent Tommy John comebacks. And I think John Means can hit opening day.
We could have another Justin Verlander situation in our hands.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I think he's coming back this year from Tommy John, and he'll probably win the Cy Young.
Okay. I'd love that. That'd be great.
But I don't know how fast he came back. You're right. Josh, you can tell us, because I'm not keeping up on the news either. I don't know how fast Tommy John is. I thought it was a year, but you're saying it's faster.
No, I think it's down to 9 months before you're pitching or something now.
Okay. I don't know.
Who you said Verlander just came back?
Yeah, that this year he came Verlander. Back.
Tommy John.
Tommy John the previous season, I think. I think that's true.
Uptime.
But yeah, while Josh looks that up, next week you can expect a full report. Maybe Josh can report back on the Tommy John.
Let's not talk about John. Let's not talk about Justin Verlander.
Why?
Because the headline says, for the first time in 624 days, Justin Verlander took to a big league mound for the Houston Astros.
How many days?
624. And Google says the typical return. Okay, here we go.
Because he's going to come back by the year this year.
All right, his surgery was on September 30th of 2021. No, September 30th.
I hate you doing this live on the podcast. I'm sorry I even mentioned his name. We can break down Tommy John. We'll get to a whole John Means segment, breaking down all the Tommy John guys and when they come back and when John.
Yeah, I don't know.
Back.
His surgery was September 30th of 2020, so he took like it says 12 to 15 months. So that's why everyone's saying June.
Right. All right, we'll see. But I mean, and that as long as we sign a free agent pitcher or two, June would be fine. We can hold on until then.
I'm fine.
It's like getting someone to trade that deadline.
I'm still hopeful for next year.
Yeah. All right, boys and girls. Well, write us a review on iTunes. Go to section36.com or is it birdlandsports.com to get their section 36 t-shirt?
Birdland Store. And I'm putting up new shirts like every single day. Today I made some Maryland flag shirts. So I'm making a bunch up there. I'm shipping them all over the world, which is really cool. And in fact, if I click on it now, it says I've got one visit. Some one person is there right now checking out shirts. Okay. But if you use the code 336TALK, you get 25% off being a 336er. If you become a Patreon member, you get a free 336 talk shirt. So go check all that out. And definitely check out birdlandstore.com.
All right. And while you're on the internet, you can also go to podcast. You can probably do it on your phone.
Go to your notes app and make some notes. What are you talking about?
Well, I was going to tie it to, like, while you're on technology, go to iTunes and write a review or whatever.
Do whatever you want.
But I usually would do that on my phone. I don't even know how people listen to podcasts on the computer. I guess you can pull up iTunes on your computer, but I've never listened to a podcast on my laptop before.
I use Overcast. I use the Apple Podcast app, and I use Spotify.
Yeah, I use the Apple
Podcast app. The Android people that ask for tech support or something with their podcasts, it's always some random podcast app I've never heard of, and it makes no sense.
Androids.
Yeah. Get Spotify or Apple Podcasts and just be done with it.
Yeah.
We're there.
Or just go to Chrome and listen on the computer if you have
one. Or go to section336.com.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But if you go to those other apps, we're like one of the top Orioles podcasts.
Orioles and we'll be up. Yeah. Exactly. Search for Orioles.
But you've already know where we're at because you're listening to us now.
That's true.
So you just tell write your a review. Five tell stars on Spotify, write a review.
Yeah. All right, boys and girls, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at section336. You can follow Josh on Twitter.
At Josh Soroka.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.